Hey, 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 good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's funny, I'm getting inundated right now with a lot of texts, people telling their stories. We were talking about unexplained things caught on camera and how this all started was my producer, Will Raymond, sent me a video saying, Dan, look at this video. This is weird as you know what. I caught something and it looks like you see these kinds of videos. They're a dime a dozen, like a mosquito or a fruit fly or something flies by a camera and, you know, the light hits it a certain way and it looks like a glowing orb. And usually, you know, 99.999% times, it's exactly that. It's very explainable. It's a bug. It's a piece of dirt on the lens. It's somebody walking by with their phone on and just it picks up the light orb. This was different, though, because it didn't move like a bug. It didn't move like a person. It glided behind one of his porch posts and in front of another one. And just the way it kind of sauntered, it was bizarre, and the way light could go through it as well. It didn't behave the way an object catching light on a camera normally behaves. And it's one of those things, whether you believe in paranormal or not, very unexplainable. We had a few people too who do a lot of film work and camera work and digital work look at it and just to say, hey, what are your thoughts on this? Because they see all kinds of phenomena and can easily say, no, this is what it is. And all of them said, yeah, it's kind of weird. It is something strange. So I'll read more of these too. But first, it's time to talk about our weekend watch list with Vincent Georgie, Executive Director and Chief Programmer at Windsor International Film Festival. Vincent, happy Friday.
Dan, happy Friday. And what an exciting morning with all this talk of supernatural events and everything.
Isn't that cool? And I remember you came on a while back, it might have been around Halloween, to tell, because you had a paranormal experience. And I was really happy that you were so open about talking about it, because something with you and your brother, I recall.
That's absolutely right, yeah. Yeah, my brother and I had a shared paranormal experience in our family home in the GTA, and we had this giant burst of light show up in our basement. We were sitting there, and it was, I mean, enormous burst of light, and it was like left to right, up and down, like you couldn't see anything but this giant, giant, blinding white light. And it was certainly lasted, we'd say 10, 12 seconds, something like that. It wasn't like 1 second at all. And once that happened, you're sort of like, oh, okay, this like stuff happens here. And lo and behold, over time, have had some different experiences before with paranormal activity and that. And I don't seek it out,
right.
But I also know, like, you know what you saw, you know what you heard. And many things can be explained away, of course, but some things can't.
Yeah.
And it definitely stays with you for sure.
Well, I recall asking you when we had this conversation on air, I said, like, you know, do you ever worry, like, you're Vincent Georgie, the Mr. Whiff himself. Are you worried people are going to think you don't believe this or whatever? And you kind of said, well, you know what? It's not worth debating because I saw what I saw and it's not up for debate.
Yeah, no, I actually feel really strongly about that. It's one of those things, even the close friends of mine, they're like they get it, but if you're not sure, I'm like, that's fine.
Sure.
I know what we saw. There's just no question. It's like, you know, staring at a, you know, glass of orange juice in front of you. You're like, well, there's a glass of orange juice there. I don't know what to tell you. It's there.
Right. Yeah.
So it is one of those things. Yeah. We know what we saw, and we've had some different things in our extended family happen over the years as well too.
Wow.
As people, funny enough, people in my family started talking more openly about it. People that had different experiences that hadn't been sharing them.
I love that. I think it's great. And even this morning, we had a bunch of stories and countless texts right now, too, of people saying they've seen things, whether they believe or not. They're like, I can't explain what I saw, and this is what it was. And I find that just fascinating. So, so cool.
100%.
Love that. Speaking of which, we got our watch list. Speaking of cool things. And also, Wicked Little Letters, it aired. And I heard, I didn't get a chance to see, I heard one of your, one of the WIF staff said it was one of the biggest reactions they ever received from a film.
Yes. It was very popular this week. We had almost 500 people come this week just for Wicked Little Letters. Really, really good comedy to kick off, you know, spring. And people just had such a strong reaction to it because it was so funny and so enjoyable and ridiculous. This is the film with Olivia Colman where her character is receiving wicked little letters in the mailbox, and they're really nasty and super vulgar and super crude, and she's trying to figure out who is sending her these really nasty messages. And the film's a lot of fun, and the audience really, really enjoyed it. We had some very, very big packed houses this week, which is fun.
Great to hear. Love that. So your watch list this week, and I love this one. I'm a huge, huge fan of true crime, and I never would have even labeled myself as a true crime fan, but I discovered recently, I'm like, man, Dan, you really like true crime. I light up when it comes on. This is a fantastic one that's currently on Netflix, and I had a chance to watch it, What Jennifer Did.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, a true story based out of Markham, Ontario, actually,
right.
of a husband and wife that experience a home invasion. It goes very badly. There's a murder, there's an attempted murder. All this goes on, and they're trying to understand through the couple's daughter what happened in the house. She's supposedly sleeping and heard some of it. And it just goes in all sorts of different directions, and you start to realize this is far, far darker and far more complicit than you initially think. You know, the film, I mean, in terms of the making of the film is average in the way it's made. It's nothing revolutionary, but the story is interesting. It keeps you guessing. Mm-hmm. Things keep getting darker and darker. Like, I can't believe it's going there. And again, it's a true story. So what happened, of course, even though the film's about, you know, 90 minutes long, I think I spent 3 hours after Googling. Oh, I'm reading up everything online about this story.
Me too. I found it, and I kept kind of thinking I had it figured out, especially when they started introducing a few characters. I thought, okay, yeah, Here's what's happening. Yeah. And I love this documentary. I thought it was really, really well done. Short, concise.
It's never good to say true crime's entertaining, but I'll say, did it engage me the whole time? 100%.
Absolutely. Next one here, and this is a name I haven't really, kind of been off my radar for a little bit, but I'm curious to see this film from Woody Allen, Coup de Chance. I hope I'm not butchering that name too much.
That's right. It's called Coup de Chance, and it's a witty sort of like mystery, but it's not very heavy at all. It's more of a comedic mystery, if you will. It is about these two friends who used to know each other in high school, a man and a woman, who bump into each other in France, and they're both living there, and they bump into each other, what have you, and they sort of rekindle a friendship and maybe a little bit more. And the woman's husband is this really charismatic ultra billionaire who might have a few shady things going on. And then this woman's mother, who initially you're like, oh, she's just a bit meddlesome, and then she ends up being actually the key to the whole story, she comes by for a long visit. And the whole interactions between these two old high school friends and who have different sort of agendas, and this mysterious husband and the mother visiting, it makes for a really interesting, fun time. The film was beautiful. It's shot almost in Paris. It's really beautiful to look at. The music and the jazz in the film are really, really good. But if you want something that's pretty funny, pretty witty, and again, a bit of a mystery, but certainly not true crime or anything of the sort,
right,
Coup de Chance is a good film.
Love that. And yeah, I'm a big fan of Woody Allen films too. When he's good, he's really good. Like some of my favorite movies I love. I think you might have recommended it before, the film Husbands and Wives, or at least
Absolutely.
We talked. Great film. Wonderful. So hilarious and so witty. And I think he's at his best when his writing is on point like that.
100%. I would actually say Coup de Chance is one of his better films, I would say, in the past 10 years.
Wow.
He's made quite a few recently that did not get much release and were just bad films, full stop. But when he's good, he's good. And this one is really quite good. The cast is really game. The vibe is good. And it's a good film. It's worth watching.
Excellent. Next one here, Underdog Story. Love this. And I have yet to see this one. This is Wild Rose. Tell us about this one.
Oh, this one's really fun. This is a story of a young Scottish woman who, of all things, she spends her time cleaning houses, but that's not her passion. What her passion is she wants to be a country western singer, and her dream is to go to Nashville and sing country music. But she currently lives in, like, Wales.
Oh, well, okay.
It is absolutely fantastic. You root for her from the start. The actress that plays, her name is Jessie Buckley, who was in Wicked Blue Letters as well this week.
Right.
This was her breakout role, and you've got this young Scottish woman with the thickest Wales accent you've ever heard, and she goes and can start belting American country music.
Wow.
It is great. You cheer for her. You love her. You want her to succeed. It's entertaining. It's a good one. It's called Wild Rose. We showed this at WIFF 2018. Nobody knew who Jessie Buckley was at the time. She went on to get an Oscar nomination. But you watch this film, you cannot help but fall in love with this film. It's really good. It's called Wild Rose.
I do remember when this was at WIFF 2019 or 2018-19, whenever it was, and you talking about it. And I didn't get a chance to see it. I kind of went off my radar, but worth checking out.
It's a good one.
For sure. And as always, you have a double feature for us, and you're kind of paying tribute to the filmmaker, and I love these films, Alex Garland.
Yes, Alex Garland had a big weekend last weekend. He made the film Civil War, which was top of the box office, with Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. A lot of people talking about that film, especially on social media, because people have some very strong reactions to it in favor of it, and some very strong reactions to it opposed. But I think it was actually quite a good film, and it lit the box office up on fire last weekend. So I want to highlight some of his other films, too, that he's made. One called Ex Machina, from about 10 years ago, which is the story of a man that gets an opportunity to meet a mysterious inventor, and I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And the mysterious inventor, amongst other things, has invented an incredibly intelligent and possibly deceptive female robot, played by the good actress Alicia Vikander. It's a good film. The film's called Ex Machina. It's interesting. It's kind of cool, kind of different. Definitely keeps you thinking, but it's also definitely entertaining. So that's Ex Machina. And another film he made a few years ago that was really quite terrific and didn't get the credit to do, it's called Men. Mm-hmm. And it stars, of all people, Jessie Buckley, who's in Wild Rose that we just talked about. She's in this as well. And she's a woman, again, it's sort of this dystopian universe, if you will, where she keeps meeting all sorts of men, and she starts to realize they're quite literally all the same. Well, and I won't go too far down that. It's a good sci-fi film. That one's called Men, and the previous one was Ex Machina. Really, really good stuff. Alex Garland's a really interesting British director, and
You know what's funny? I didn't realize that he was the same director of those films and the director of Civil War. Yeah. He's not a name that I was really fully familiar with, but now I am, and I had the chance to see Ex Machina and Men. Men is just holy moly. What a trip.
Yes, it is. And again, I will not go into spoilers, but it is. And I walked into that film when I saw it. I had no idea what any of it was. It was like, okay, we're watching a film that's happening.
Yep.
Boy, did I not know where that film was going to go.
That was me too. I went in thinking, oh, this looks cool. This looks neat. And understatement of the year right there. But you know, films like that, Men, Ex Machina, those seem not art house, but very, very independent, very off the beaten path, very not Hollywood. And to have a film like Civil War, which is, you know, it's the most talked about film last weekend, and everyone's buzzing about it. Is it differing in style at all from the two that you have for the double feature, Civil War?
I would say it's actually quite similar. Mm. And what we've seen in the box office happen the past couple of years is there is such fatigue over franchise films and Marvel films and, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean number 9 or whatever, that as long as something is entertaining, the audience is looking for stuff that's actually just more original, more interesting, or got more going on. And that's, I think, why Civil War really succeeded, is that you've got some stars in it, it's totally entertaining, but it's much smarter and much more interesting than some of the stuff we've seen the past few years. I mean, you know, for big popular audiences going for Friday or Saturday night film, you know, back over 20 years ago, we started off with, you know, big summer superhero movies, and people enjoyed them a lot because they're good.
Yeah.
But over time, diminishing returns, and we just started to see just a lack of interest. Most of a lot of them are just not good. And the past couple of years, we've seen some more original films that still have major audience potential and have stars and everything in them take up more room at the box office because people are like, I want something entertaining, but I also want it to be good and interesting and original.
Right. Agree. Yeah. I think people are hungry for that. And sometimes, I think for a long time, we dismiss films as this is very Hollywood. And his films are very not Hollywood, that I can tell. Alex Garland, very not. But I think people are hungry for that, for something a bit different.
And it can also be very entertaining. It can be not a Hollywood movie, but really entertaining nonetheless. I mean, Civil War, that was actually very well done. I was not bored for a second. And it's entertaining, but it's also got a lot of ideas and a lot of things on its mind, which is good.
Love that. Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I love Whiff. It is a lot of out of the box films, which are still very smart, still very well done, engaging and entertaining. That's a huge part of it. When you can do all of those, that's a well done film.
There's no excuse ever for not entertaining people.
Yeah, agree.
Whether it's a drama, a comedy, an independent film, a Hollywood film, it does not matter. You should always be entertaining your audience.
Agree.
There's no excuse on either side of that equation of boring people. Never.
100%. Well, never a boring watch list or festival with you and the crew at WIFF, Vincent. Always appreciate your time, and have a great weekend.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend.